We're going to continue over the next several weeks looking at the resurrection. I think it's so important to our Christian faith. And so we're going to be looking at walking with the resurrected Lord over the next several weeks as we think about Thomas and the Emmaus disciples and even Paul, who experienced the resurrected Lord. And I think it's important for us to do that because, very simply, as I've shared before, and I just share it again because it just, it's one of those things that I guess, breaks my heart, is that Easter Sunday is always called High Sunday. It's the high point of the Christian year. We have Christmas and then we have Easter, which is High Sunday. And everybody comes out and they worship on Easter Sunday. And then the next Sunday, which is today, is typically called Low Sunday, because the attendance sinks back down to normal, even or below normal. And I really, in many ways, it breaks my heart because every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. And there was a pastor who used to say, I think we ought to sing a resurrection and Easter song every Sunday because every Sunday is the Lord's day and it's a resurrection day. But we do gather together today on this day and we celebrate. Why? Because Christ is risen from the dead. We who are alive in Christ are no longer dead. We have a hope of forgiveness. We have a hope of heaven. We have the hope of living an abundant life here and a life forever. I have a hope in my life, and I need that hope. Living in the world in which we live, I need the hope of a resurrected Savior. I recently read a story about a little boy who was taking a stroll with his grandmother for a walk. And they were walking out through the countryside, and there was a cemetery that they decided they were going to cut through on their way home. And, of course, as an older woman, a grandmother, she decided that she wanted to look at some of the gravestones and to see the names on the gravestones. And she was trying to take the opportunity to explain it to her small grandchild. You know, this is the name of the person who's passed away. On the right is the birth date, and on the left is the death date. And a little boy says, "Well, Grandma, why is it that some of those tombstones only have one date?" And she says, "Because the people who are buried there aren't dead yet. Or the people who are there aren't, how do I want to say this? The people haven't died yet." And so he was just absolutely astounded by this. I mean, he went home and his eyes were wide open. And it just kept running through his mind. And finally, he came back to his mother. He says, "Mommy, you're not going to believe this." But he said, "You do realize that we walked through the cemetery there today. And some of the people who are buried there, they're not even dead yet, you know." We leave it to this little, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. They can put a strange twist on things because they see things differently. But it's true. Those individuals who are there and they have been born again in Christ, they have died in Christ, they're not dead. They're more alive than ever before. And we know that we have that hope of heaven. Now, as we've looked out throughout this Holy Week, we begin at Palm Sunday and Good Friday and then Easter sunrise, and Easter morning. But here was Caiaphas and his crowd, and here was Pilate and his crowd. They had the vested authority in them to get rid of this man whom they felt was a threat to society. I mean, what a threat he was. I mean, he was just a person who walked around teaching good things. He healed the blind, caused the deaf to hear, delivered those who were oppressed by demons. Doesn't that sound like a really bad person to you? But they used their authority that was vested in them to get rid of this, quote, prophet, this man of God, this one whom the disciples were saying was the Messiah. They had gotten rid of him and they had taken him out and they had crucified him on this cross. And they had made sure that he was dead. They took him down off that cross. They made sure that they checked the body, that the body was dead, that there was no more life in this body of Jesus. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea wrapped the body of Jesus in their linen cloths and of course took it to the tomb and laid it in the tomb. There they rolled that stone in front of it. Actually, the Roman soldiers rolled the stone in front of it. The stone was sealed by the Roman seal, the Roman authority, because they were afraid that somewhere along the line, disciples might come along and roll back the stone and steal the body. But, that did not happen at all. In fact, what happened was that the body of Jesus was there in that tomb. The rock was in its place. The seal was on the tomb. And on Sunday morning, there were some women who came to that tomb. And as I've said, I can just see them coming to that tomb and God looking out of his heaven and saying, "You know what, Gabriel, I don't know how they're going to roll that tomb back to anoint that body." And so actually, he caused an earthquake to happen and the angel came down to come to that tomb to greet the women. But in the process, the Roman soldiers who were standing there, can you imagine that? You're standing there guard, you're standing there on sentry duty, and all of a sudden this earthquake appears, an angel appears, the stone begins to roll away. It says they became like dead men, and I think I would have too. They became like dead men. But the women came to that tomb there on that Sunday morning, and they were greeted by this angel who said, and this is the verse that I really just want to draw on, and Nicole, you mentioned it also last week. You know, I know whom you've come seeking. You've come seeking Jesus of Nazareth, who is not here, but he has risen just as he said. Now, I want you to come and see the place where he lay, and then I want you to go, and I want you to tell the disciples, because he's gone ahead of you into Galilee. And so those women took off. And I want to tell you something this morning. We've looked at some of this in our Wednesday evening Bible studies. Women's testimonies were not very good in those days. In fact, the testimony of a woman wouldn't even be allowed in court. And so all this stuff is not made up. The historical truth and fact of the resurrection is that it's historical and it's true. It's at a date, time, in history. Because the women first reported it. And no one would have chosen women to report that. And there's a whole lot of other things as well. But I stop and I think about this. And very simply here, you can almost hear the drum roll as God sits in his heaven. And he has this big smile on his face. And he begins to laugh. In fact, the Orthodox Church once called it the Risus Paschalis, which means the Easter laugh or the Easter Day laugh. In other words, God has pulled the ultimate joke on death, on sin, and on the devil. On that day, sin was atoned for. On that day, death was overcome. On that day, Jesus was resurrected, and he is the hope of our life. He had the last laugh. And I can see in the book of Psalms where it says that everybody here on earth, you know, rebellious mankind, rebellious humankind, they've always tried to conspire against God's plan and thwart God's plan for this earth to try to bring us back to him. And yet the Bible says in Psalm 2 that while they conspired against the God of heaven, he said it is heaven and he laughed at their futile attempts to try to thwart the plan of God, because nothing will ever thwart the plan of God for this earth, for your life, and for my life, and for this church. God will never have a plan thwarted. Now, unfortunately, about the 17th century, Pope Clement X outlawed this day, called the Risus Paschalis, which is the Easter Day laugh. He outlawed it. I don't know why he outlawed it. Maybe the Christians were having too much fun celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, last week I gave your permission. When you left this place, if you wanted to, you could go dancing and singing and praising God. A few of you did that. Some of you didn't. So today you have the opportunity to do that again. But nonetheless, why did he outlaw? I don't know. Maybe the Christians were having too much fun proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've shared this story about Irma Bombeck, who went to church one day. And she was sitting there, you know, worshiping the Lord. And there was this little boy who stood up. And remember the little boy I had on the screen last week? You know, the Because He Lives. You know, one of the people of the choir said that picture really helped them out, because every time they looked up, they saw that baby grinning at them. And they was reminded, we need to smile when we sing because he lives, right? And so here he was, this little boy standing up in the pew. He turned around. He just had this big smile on his face. He wasn't tearing up any hymnals. He wasn't blowing big bubbles with his bubble gum or with his, you know, saliva. He wasn't rummaging through his mother's purse. He was merely standing there smiling away at everybody behind him. And his mother jerked him around and said, "You stop that grinning. You're in church." And she gave him a big whack on the backside and set him down. And a big tear began to form in his eyes and began to flow down his cheeks. And then she said in a very loud whisper, "That's better." Well, you know, I stop and I think about that, and I say, you know what? Isn't that what God wants us to do, to really have a joy in our own heart, that we're able to smile, we're able to praise God for who he is, that he is alive, that he's been resurrected? Now, I admit, I understand that. You know, we need to be able to have our children under control. We don't want them disturbing the services, and that's why we have nurseries and why we have children's church. But friends, listen to me. You know, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm not coming to church back there again. Why? Because, well, I couldn't worship. I couldn't listen to you preach because somebody was making a noise. Well, hey, get over it, okay? We love to be able to praise the Lord. And I don't mind it if children get up and smile, because we need to have somebody help us smile once in a while, right? I mean, I realize that life is tough. And I'm not calling you to somehow deny reality. You know, we get unemployed, we experience death, we have bad things that happen to us in life. It's tough. But because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, I can even have a pessimistic joy. I can rejoice. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. And I can laugh with a hope because God is there, and he's there with me, and he's given me the ability to be more than a conqueror. Paul was sitting in a prison cell, and he says, I want you to rejoice. Here's Jesus on a cross, and he says, you know what? You're going to have all sorts of tribulation and trials and problems, but I'm going to send my spirit, and you're going to have joy in your own heart. We as Christians, above all, can laugh because we have hope. Amen? Many of you, no doubt, remember this man. His name is Patch Adams. Robin Williams played his part in a movie called Patch Adams. And Patch Adams was a medical student back in the 60s and 70s who went to the University of Virginia. And he just loved to be happy. I mean, in fact, he was accused of being excessively happy. Can you imagine that? They said, if you want to be a clown, join the circus. Well, you know, he really was one of those individuals that, you know, even the medical staff did not want to pass him on, but he was able to make the grades, and so they gave him an MD degree. And he began what was called the Gesundheit Institute, because he believed that not only did you treat the disease, you treated the person. And I believe that wholeheartedly. You treat the body, you treat the soul and spirit, you treat the mind, you treat the attitudes. And he believed that by bringing a little bit of humor into the life of individuals, that he could actually bring about a greater healing, that he could bring about a greater attitude where people could experience greater health. And so he would put on balloon noses, and he would bring balloons, and he would do all sorts of things. Not just the silliness, but, you know, just stuff that helped people to smile. And that was validated later on by a doctor and a professor at Stanford University. His name was William Fry, who, along with two other people, did a study on laughter. And they discovered very simply here that laughter increases the heart rate, it improves the circulation, it reduces pain. Praise God, some of us really need to laugh, amen? I mean, I know I look at my own life, and I'm dealing with this pain. I said, Lord, you know, help me to laugh a little bit more, release these endorphins, because I don't want to take all this ibuprofen, okay? It reduces stress. Again, I need to laugh. It strengthens the immune system. It stimulates the mental functions. I mean, laughter does so many things. It's very beneficial to our life. And so we can laugh. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He has been risen from the dead. I think about, of course, why it is that we can laugh. Again, it's not that we are denying reality. It's just because we understand that in the midst of this reality that we call life that sometimes stink, that we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, I like Jimmy Valvano. Jimmy Valvano was the coach of North Carolina State back in 1983. Before they entered into the final game, Louisville and Houston were playing against one another, and it was a high-flying contest. I mean, it was dunk after dunk after dunk after dunk. Well, Houston won, and they were actually the guaranteed bet to win the NCAA championship. And here comes along this number, 11 seed or thereabouts, and North Carolina State, and they beat Houston. All right, and Jimmy Valvano, I can see him. He's running around that floor. He's just happy. He's laughing. He's cheering. Can't find anybody to hug at all. And I have to laugh because, you know, he was given the opportunity to speak at the ESPY Awards, and this is where this picture's from, the ESPY Awards, ESPN actually puts on. And every week they have a Jimmy V week, and they raise funds for the Jimmy V Foundation because Jimmy Valvano was diagnosed with cancer. And here he was speaking here at this ESPY Award ceremony. And at conference, you remember these, Pat and Ann, you know, they used to have these green, yellow, and red lights. And when it was green, you could talk. When it became yellow, it said, wind up your speech. When it became red, it meant stop. And so here's Jimmy V standing up there giving this speech, a little speech, and it turns yellow, and Jimmy V says to the crowd, he says, like I care. He says, I got tumors all over my body, and they're telling me it's time to shut up. Well, Jimmy V continued on, and he said this, which is the most memorable thing that he said. To me, there's three things everyone should do every day. Number one is laugh. Number two is think. Spend some time in thought. Number three, you should have your emotions move you to tears. If you laugh, think, and cry, that's a heck of a day. You know, very simply here, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And Solomon says, a cheerful heart does good like medicine. We need to understand that we have the opportunity to be able to smile, to laugh, to have a joyful spirit because Jesus Christ is alive. Now, along comes a day like the day that the disciples experienced. Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's been laid in that tomb. Every dream that they had was dashed. Every hope that they had of a future was gone. Every desire that they had to be able to see Jesus Christ crowned the king here on the, was diminished. It was all done and gone. Nothing was there at all. Everything had disappeared. And then what we find is, no, back up. They appeared in that upper room, and what we find is that Jesus showed up. And can you imagine this? They're locked behind these doors for fear of Jews. They don't understand it. I mean, why was he crucified? Why was he hung on that cross? And they've got the door locked, and they're hiding behind those closed doors for fear because they don't understand it. But then Jesus showed up in their midst, and it changed everything. It changed everything. And there was a man by the name of Thomas, one of the disciples, who was not there. And the disciples said to Thomas, he said, you know, Thomas, the Lord has appeared. He's alive. He says, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. But then Jesus appears in the midst of it all. And Jesus changed everything. And he turns to Thomas, and he says, Thomas, I want you to see the nail prints in my hands. And I want you to feel the spear wound in my side. And Thomas didn't even have to reach out and to feel those wounds. He merely fell down and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And I cannot but help see Thomas as he falls down in awe and wonder at the resurrected Savior. That there was also this laugh, this smile in his own heart as he stepped back. And now he said, my Lord and my God. But there was this laugh of joy because this one whom they thought was dead was now more alive than ever. You know, Peter Marshall once said, let us never live another day as if Jesus were dead. He's not. He's alive. And too often we get caught in Good Friday and we forget the Easter. And then, friends, you know, when we stop and think about it all, Easter's not one day a year. It's every day because we are demanded and we are called to give true allegiance to this one who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he is God, I owe him everything. I owe him everything. Now, I stop and I think about how, of course, he brought life because he comes and he says to them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And then he says he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. At that point in time, he gives them a commission to go out into the world, to take the message and to tell it everywhere. What we have is not secret, friends. We're to blabber it everywhere we go. It's to be written on our face. It's to be written on our mouths. I mean, everywhere we go, we're to tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord. But through that anointing of the Spirit of God in our life, they not only knew who they were, but they understood whose they were, and they understood the purpose for which they were called. And they went forth from that upper room after the Pentecostal experience, and they preached the good news everywhere. You know, someone once said this, that there was a man who came up to Joseph of Arimathea, and they said to Joseph, Joseph, I don't understand it. Why did you allow the dead body of Jesus to be buried in your own private tomb? And Joseph of Arimathea simply said, well, he only needed it for a weekend. Praise God. He only needed it for a weekend. Someone gave me this video, or showed me this video, and so I decided to show up this morning if it works because I've already backtracked it, so hopefully it works. But listen, if you will, and may there be a smile on your face this morning as you share the testimony of the resurrected Lord.
Sight. Jesus Christ, it is finished, and breathe his last. And they sealed it with a very big rock.
The tomb was full.
After the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb.
Nothing had prepared them
for the surprise that waited.
The tomb was empty!
The angel said to the women,
"Don't be afraid.
He's not here.
He is risen.
Take it all yourself.
Now go tell everyone
this great news.
It's still good news today.
That tomb is still empty.
And Jesus still lives.
And that's the only hope
for you and me.
And this crazy world that we live in, it's not complicated, really.
We have a Savior.
Jesus Messiah.
He died for us.
When I survived,
he rose for us.
Up from the grave he arose.
He lives for us.
Because he lives.
So we worship him.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debts.
Forgiven and redeemed.
This is amazing grace.
And that's what Easter is all about.
Go tell everyone this great news. That tomb is still empty. Christ is risen from the dead. Trembling over death by dead. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
You see why we should never forbid a child to smile? I mean, they really communicate the good news in ways that we should have. When we get old, what happens is we get a little bit, I'm not sure what we get, but anyway, you know, we need to be able to laugh and to rejoice because Jesus is Lord. He is risen. Amen? And it's good news. And I don't want you just to sort of just say, well, pause, it happens, we've heard it 50 million times. I don't care if you've heard it 25 million times. You know, I told someone last week, I probably have watched reruns of Andy Griffith or something like that 50 million times, and they're still as new to me as always. And so to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to his resurrection, that's the only hope I stand on. And without that hope, I have no hope. Precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death. It was the bridge. It was the pathway. It was the atoning sacrifice. I thank you for the empty grave. Lord, you're the risen Savior. Oh, Lord, come and dwell among us. Lord, inspire us. Lord, thrill us. Lord, help us to laugh. Help us to rejoice. You have risen from the dead. Father, send us forth from this place, not with a scowl or a frown on our lips and on our face, but with an Easter laugh in our hearts, because we know that we serve a risen Savior. Father, touch us, anoint us, we pray, and bring us into that kingdom once and for all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was tempted this morning to actually put another video up there that began this, and that was a baby laughing, you know? How many of you love baby laughings? All right. I mean, that would get us all tickled, and, you know, maybe we'd all become uncontrollable in here this morning. I'd have to say, don't laugh no more. But anyway, well, may you go forth in peace. May God's grace truly sustain you, and may he truly hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.